Utah's Senate candidates face off in their first televised debate. Mill Creek residents consider the pros and cons of incorporation, and the Utah legislature discusses sex ed. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, October 18th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch and his Democratic challenger, Scott Howell, met in a debate at Brigham Young University yesterday. The incumbent and the former Utah State Senator tangled over the issues of health care, education, and the economy in an hour-long town hall-style debate. Hatch was elected to the Senate in 1976. He's running for his seventh term. Howell contends Hatch has been in Washington too long and has become too partisan to get legislation passed.
He's gone so far hard right in order to win this election that he does not have that collaborative spirit anymore. He's lost that back there.
Hatch maintains his experience and stature in the Senate allow him the influence to look out for the state's best interest, and he said in his more than three decades of service he has been and would continue to be a bipartisan leader.
Henry Waxman is the most liberal guy in the whole House of Representatives, but he's brilliant. We did the Hatch-Waxman Act that created the modern generic drug industry. It was done right in my office. By anybody's measure, it's one of the best consumer bills in history. I can do it.
The Vote Utah debate between Senator Orrin Hatch and challenger Scott Howell was broadcast on public TV and radio stations across the state.
State legislators debated the merits of creating training courses for parents on how to teach sex education to their children Wednesday during the Education Interim Committee meeting. While the Education Interim Committee did not move on the draft legislation proposed by Republican Senator Stuart Reed, the debate over it was robust. The plan would require the Utah State Board of Education to offer training classes and online resources to parents that would help them understand how and when to teach their children about human sexuality. Reed says the proposal is aimed at providing parents with good science so that they can teach the subject in the light of their own values in their own homes.
Our first instinct should not be to have someone that we don't even know teaching the most intimate issues related to human sexuality. That should not be our first instinct.
But Republican Representative Johnny Anderson made the argument that this kind of information is readily available online already.
This seems to be, to me, to be a government solution for a problem that really isn't ours to own.
Unlike last year's sex education bill that was vetoed by the governor, this draft legislation does not change how sex education is currently taught in public schools. Instead, Senator Reed says this will give parents tools to teach sex education in the home.
An industry trade group got a friendly reception from a legislative committee yesterday when it argued that federal regulation is holding back Utah's energy industry. Kathleen Scama of the Western Energy Alliance told the Interim Natural Resources, Agriculture, and Environment Committee that long delays and bureaucratic obstacles in getting leases, drilling permits, and environmental reviews on BLM land are costing Utah billions of dollars and thousands of jobs.
So all of these things combine to disadvantage federal land states like Utah compared to other parts of the country. And that just means that investment and job creation goes elsewhere.
Scama says the federal government should delegate well permitting to the states, which handle it much more quickly on their own land. But David Garbett, a lawyer with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, says the states don't do a thorough job.
The state could not look at environmental impacts to air quality from oil and gas drilling. It could not look at impacts to water quality, to wildlife. These are all part of the analysis that the BLM attempts to undertake when it approves development on federal lands, and the state does not do that when it approves oil and gas development.
Energy production in the Uinta Basin has been among the bright spots in Utah's economy in recent months, even though the price of natural gas is only about 25% of what it was 3 years ago. The Utah Senate confirmed the appointment of Holly Richardson to the State Records Committee yesterday. That appointment came under criticism from some who remembered Richardson's votes to restrict access to public records when she was in the legislature. They wanted a public hearing on the appointment, but Democratic State Senator Ross Romero says that really wasn't necessary.
Legislators have had an opportunity to work with Holly, see her as a member of the legislative body, to hear her advocacy, to know that she was on the task force. They had a chance to evaluate her before that. And I think that might have played a part as to why a committee hearing wasn't perceived to be needed.
The state Senate oversees anywhere from 10 to 20 new appointments by the governor each month.
The legislature's chief economist says Utah should recover all the jobs lost during the recession by the middle of next year. Andrea Wilco told an interim committee yesterday that the state's tax revenue is rising as well. She projects a $100 million surplus in the coming year. Some residents in Mill Creek Township say they lack a voice in many policy decisions and pay Salt Lake County too much for police and fire services. But others say the county is doing a good job of keeping taxes low and providing adequate representation. In a few days, voters in Mill Creek will decide whether to incorporate their community as Utah's newest city. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
During an election season, it's not unusual to see neighborhood lawns teeming with campaign signs. But from the side of lawns in Mill Creek, races for president and statewide offices are taking a back seat to a battle over incorporation. When voters go to the polls November 6th, they'll be asked whether or not Mill Creek should incorporate. They'll also be asked to choose the form of government they'd like to have. That includes the number of members on the council and whether or not members are elected by district. Mill Creek residents Earl and Anna Claire Shepherd actively support incorporation. The Shepherds have lived in Mill Creek for more than 34 years. Anna Claire says in that time she's watched the community grow and evolve.
We have almost 64,000 people who live here. We would be the fifth largest city in the county, the 10th largest in the state. Can you imagine it's taken us all these years to consider becoming a city when we have that kind of strength?
The Shepherds say actual sales tax revenues in Mill Creek are higher than what Salt Lake County initially estimated in a 2011 feasibility study. The study projected a 1% increase in sales tax revenues in 2011 through 2016. County officials say if that number rings true, the city of Mill Creek would need to raise taxes or reduce services after a couple of years to keep up with inflation. But in 2012, residents in favor of incorporation paid the same consulting firm who did the first study, Lewis, Young, Robertson, and Birmingham Incorporated, to look at the actual revenues for 2011 and the first half of 2012, which showed about a 5.5% increase in sales tax revenue for 2011, and an even bigger jump in 2012. Anna Claire says Salt Lake County isn't always accountable to Mill Creek residents. She and her husband point to the controversial police fee imposed on the unincorporated county in 2010 as an example.
They didn't ask us to vote on it. They just made us pay it.
And it was because they needed the money.
There only unincorporated areas. The cities didn't have to pay it.
A law passed in the 2011 legislative session has since banned such fees. The Shepherds also argue unincorporated areas pay more for public safety than surrounding cities do because they currently subsidize those services in other areas of the county. They say if Mill Creek were to incorporate, it would either stay with the Unified Police Department and Unified Fire Authority or contract with them for some services.
And what does contracting mean? Well, for example, okay, police department, we want you to patrol twice up and down this road per day instead of just once. You know, this sort of thing.
You can negotiate for a price. As it is now, there's no negotiation. There's no choice.
They could also contract with a nearby city for public safety or create their own fire and police departments. Salt Lake County Sheriff Jim Winder is part of the UPD command. He said during a public meeting in Mill Creek last week, he's neutral on the debate, but thinks there should be no change in the current arrangement between UPD and Mill Creek.
We have seen it in West Valley, Draper, Cottonwood Heights, many cities that have gone to that self-provide model, and there's been no analysis of whether that's the appropriate or better service or not.
Winder said Cottonwood Heights is now paying about $1 million more for police services than it would be paying had it remained in the district. Roger Dudley has lived in Mill Creek for close to 38 years. He says it's an enormous concern that Mill Creek could leave the UPD and UFA. By ending the current agreement, Mill Creek would forgo about $1.5 million in revenue from Kennecott, Utah Copper, which is the single largest contributor of tax revenues for the area.
If there's one financial transaction that we can really zero in on, it is that.
He says it just doesn't make sense to become a city.
I just felt like this was a duplication of government, and it would add expense, a tremendous amount of expense.
Another expense Dudley fears if Mill Creek incorporates is a franchise tax. A city has the exclusive right to levy up to 6% of a resident's utility bill or 3.5% of a resident's telephone bill.
It's clearly a mechanism for a city government, a municipal city government, to raise revenue, but it's a tax to the residents.
Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley says because Home Depot and Walmart are the only major businesses in the area, he would be fairly nervous about building a city on such a small sales tax base.
Given the fact that your tax base is fairly stable and there's not a lot of growth there because there's not a lot of new businesses going into the Mill Creek area just because there's no place to put them, that you have to say, okay, this is about what our sales tax is going to be.
Bradley says that will become an issue as expenses continue to rise. But those in favor of incorporation say there is potential for growth along 33rd and 39th South and an area near State Street just north of 45th South that's been approved for transit-oriented redevelopment. And although startup costs for incorporation are still unclear, they say projected revenue surpluses will cover the expenses. In addition, Salt Lake County has stepped up in the past to provide that funding for new cities. But that decision would lie in the hands of the county council. At this point, the community is undoubtedly divided on the issue. Although no recent polls have been conducted to suggest the outcome, both sides will be canvassing the neighborhood, knocking on doors, and trying to win undecided voters in this township over to their side. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
More than 400 claims have been filed by residents of Woods Cross whose property was damaged by a leaking tank at the Holly Frontier Refinery. A storage tank broke open and sprayed oil into the air on August 30th. The company says it's spent $500,000 on the cleanup so far, and only about 25 claims are still unresolved. The Texas Attorney General's office has dropped bigamy charges against polygamist leader Warren Jeffs. Jeffs is serving time in a Texas prison on two convictions of sexual assault against underage girls he took as plural wives. But prosecutors said there's no need to pursue the bigamy charges with Jeffs already in jail. Jeffs is the leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is based in Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, October 18th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.